guys, welcome to another episode of the Game Dev Show, where you're joining me, Adina Shanholtz, and talking about game development and education. I know this is a broad topic, so I hope that whether or not you're an educator or a game developer or someone who likes doing workshops, you'll be able to get something from this video. A little bit about me. I was a camp counselor for a good number of years where I did everything from like arts and crafts assistant to being an instructor at a technical camp teaching Intro to Java and game development with Unity. I'm now being able to use the skills that I learned then to kind of impromptu be able to teach workshops without an education degree. So here's a bunch of skills that I have developed and I hope that they help you too. So one of the first things I did when I learned I was actually going to be teaching a lot was I actually developed a game curriculum. Now this might seem like kind of weird if you are not planning on teaching over the course of a couple weeks, but it actually makes a lot of sense because you're able to slow down and try to think what makes a game step by step. And you actually can put a lot of thought into what you're going to need to do or what you, people need to get out of your class or workshop when they're making their game. So breaking it down and kind of realizing that if I were to break it out into weeks, I would spend like a week making sprites and then the next week trying to make the level and then the next week, you know, porting it. And then you kind of realize how much time these things might actually take if you're doing it in a smaller chunk, like a day workshop or even a 2-hour workshop, where you realize what you need to kind of prioritize and what you might need to cut. Outlining the steps are really important because you are the expert, but you have to kind of slow down and think to your slowest student. What might they need to be repeated a whole bunch of times? What might they need more time to do? For the faster students, the students who need a challenge, it's not hard to kind of think, like if you're making a game that's lives-based, maybe challenge them to make it time-based or make an inventory, like if you weren't planning on using arrays in your game, or if for more advanced developers, make an AI/smart enemy for your game. Because there's always more you can do to challenge your students, but you never want to go too fast and let someone be left behind. Make sure to include and use prompts and questions to allow the students to think more critically about game design and game development. It's kind of easy when you play games to kind of be passive about it, just kind of taking the game, but the more you stop and slow down and think, why is this game fun? Why would I want to design a level like this? Helps to get the creative juices flowing. When you're writing your outline, try not to micromanage your time, because you need to think about what might take more time, what might take less time, and everyone's going to go at a different pace. So rather than manage and breaking down the class into different, like, this will take 15 minutes, this will take 30 minutes, try and rather have a goal for the end of the day. Say, everyone, you should have your level designed by the end of this time or class period. In my case, I found that students actually like taking a lot of time making sprites, so I gave them extra time to do sprites, even though we knew that level design might also take a lot of time. Now that you've written this game curriculum, you might want to start thinking about how to condense it into a workshop or a couple days long activity. So what's important in this step is to actually pick out what's necessary and what can kind of stay behind, and whether or not you're going to actually do it workshop style or demo style. So, for example, in my workshops, I pick something like seeing sprites, a win condition, building a level, and code, and then porting it and having a finished product and finished game. Those are the important elements that I would normally like spread out and give more time, maybe build multiple levels if I were doing it in a longer curriculum. You have to remember what your audience is going to take away from your workshop. A good chunk of the time, they're not actually going to remember what 100% of the directions that you did, whether or not they built it with you. So providing resources that they can go and recreate it and expand on it themselves after your workshop is finished is really important. Here's a workshop I just did on Introduction to Unity.
Follow. So we are going to made a folder in our assets folder in order to save our game. So down here in the project view, we also have a create button. We're going to click create folder. I'm going to name it scenes. So in my scenes folder, I'm going to save, control S, go to scenes, and then name my file field. You can name it whatever you want, but if you see, field now pops up there. So you're going to create a new folder, name it scenes in our assets folder, and then save our current scene into that folder.
I want to tell you about this really awesome program that we sometimes include in our game development workshops. DreamSpark is a program that allows students to have free access to our cloud called Azure. They can host websites that host their game to show off to parents and fellow students. The way this works is that students can export their game to HTML5 to host on websites in Azure using GitHub as source control. This allows them to learn about websites through Azure and allow them to use GitHub, which is important for development. There are links to get set up with DreamSpark at the bottom in the description. I'm going to go ahead and show you some of the tools that I use to teach game design and game development. Links to my video and my game curriculum that I described are down there in the description. Construct 2 is a relatively simple program that I find very easy to use for middle school students. If we go ahead and create a new project, you can see that there is a whole bunch of templates that you can use to teach a whole bunch of different concepts, such as a driving game, an infinite jumping game, an auto runner, etc. For right now, I'm just going to show you what it's like to create a new empty project. When we load a new project, we get a blank level. Over here in the project view, you can see that it's separated into a whole bunch of different files, such as music, object types, layouts, event sheets. Our event sheets are where we put essentially code. It is logic-based, so you click on options and you can get a whole lot of sub-actions that will allow you to change values or perform functions. In Construct 2, sprites are objects and you can manipulate them with the event sheet. So let's insert a sprite and open an image. This seems to be a default icon. I think it's a Construct 2 logo. Yep. And you can see now in our event sheet, we now get options for the sprite. So we can flip it or it's mirrored. Let's say is flipped. So if it's flipped, we can now destroy it. Construct 2 makes it very easy to take keyboard input. If you scroll down, input can come from keyboard, gamepad, mouse, or touch, which makes it very easy to create mobile games. You can assign objects behaviors that'll give it certain properties, such as solid, which will make the object impassable so objects cannot move or fall through it. When we add behaviors to our sprites, we also get more options when we click on sprite. So now we get options for our solid behavior. While Construct 2 is very good for open explorative work due to all the really easy templates and logic, Unity is a little more robust. Here is a project that I have used to teach game design in the past, the link to which is linked at the bottom in the descriptions. It's a very simple game that teaches a whole bunch of different concepts such as
creating a level, scripting, using assets, prefabs, text objects, wing conditions, as you can see, and counters. When I teach this workshop, it takes about 2 hours. And the scripts in Unity on a Windows machine can be opened and edited in Visual Studio. Visual Studio, everything is color-coded, but the most important thing that I find when teaching that can be very helpful is IntelliSense. IntelliSense pops up with all of the Unity options. And for functions, we'll also have descriptions. This makes it a lot more intuitive to code, as you can now see why you might be choosing a certain type of function. Over here, we have Visual Studio Code. This is a previous project I had that is a web app, and I find that Visual Studio Code is particularly good for web apps, but is also very good as a Unity tool on my Mac. Thank you so much for watching this video. I hope you guys learned something today, so go out and teach your own game design classes.